Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here on New Visions Radio this evening. It's 7 p.m. here on the East Coast, and it's Sunday, April the 23rd,
wow.
2023. Time is just moving on.
It just goes
so fast. Yeah. And I don't know what it is, Ed, but the older I get, the faster it seems to go.
You must be pretty old.
I must be. So it's really good to have everyone here, and I'll tell you, we were off last week, as you know. My wife and I took a little vacation, and we had a really nice time, but it's good to be back home and back in the studio again,
yeah.
And I really miss being here. You know, when we're not doing these things, it's just not the same.
Right.
You know, I wasn't here for Sabbath school, but I did tune in via Zoom.
Yeah.
And so just tell us a little bit about how our ministry works, Ed, would you please?
Well, again, we're based in Stanton, Virginia, and we just have a little ministry here that's started out local, but has become global in a sense, because we have people online that we interact with all the time from all over the world.
Yeah.
And so we have a Wednesday night Bible study, which is at 7 Eastern time. We have Sabbath school, which is on the Sabbath or Saturday, at 9:30, and then we have a worship hour at 11 o'clock. And there's also right now a Bible study on Monday evenings via Zoom on the sanctuary of the Old Testament.
Yes. And so, you know, how we found New Visions Radio was a friend of mine asked me if we wanted to do a ministry program on here. And Ray Powers keeps us on the air week after week. And last week we weren't able to be here, so he put us on the air with a rerun, I guess we would call it.
He looks after us.
He really does. But, you know, so if you can find our website, it's at prophecyhope.com. And what if somebody wants to contact you, Ed?
They can contact me at ed@prophecyhope.com.
There you go. And you can contact me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can send us a question or a comment, or just contact us at office@prophecyhope.com. And I want to encourage you to, you know, don't be afraid to send in your questions. If you don't want your name said on the air, we will not repeat your name. We'll just read the question and we'll try to answer it from the Bible.
Right.
And because, you know, our intent here is not to give you the answers that we want to give you.
Right.
We want every answer to come from God's Word. That's really important.
You know, and really, that's the basis of our ministry, is to find out what the Bible actually says.
That's
not what a church says it says, not what a pastor says it says, but just to look for yourselves. And so we want to share with you what we have found the Bible to say.
Amen.
And get you to read it for yourself.
Yes, and you can draw your own conclusion by seeing what the Bible actually says.
See the words on the page.
You know, Ed, you say that, and that means so much, because you and I come from different backgrounds.
Yes.
And we come from backgrounds that the background that I came from said we have the truth.
Yes.
The background that you come from says we had the truth.
Right.
Right? And we believe things that are very different.
Mm-hmm.
So when we studied the Bible and asked for God to help us to understand,
yes,
and for Him to put His Spirit in us to help us to understand,
right,
what happens as a result?
You actually take the time to read and see what the words on the page actually say.
Yeah. And instead of, and it's hard to do. We were just talking about this before we got on the air here, how, you know, we're taught something, and sometimes we want to hang on to
right.
that. And so it's really important that we just allow God's Spirit to work in us and see what the Bible is actually saying to you as an individual.
Right. You know, it came a point in my life where I was reading the Bible, and God showed me the words on the page, and they were different than what my church taught.
Absolutely.
It made me question what I was reading, and is my church wrong? So I had to make a choice.
Yeah.
Do I believe God's Word, the Bible, or do I follow my church?
And this has been a life-changing thing for both Ed and myself.
Yes.
And most of the people that are here, Prophecies of Hope, they're
yes.
finding the same thing.
Yes.
So we want to encourage you to open your Bible. You know, as we go through this program today, we always open with a word of prayer. We're going to do that in just a moment. But, you know, instead of just listening to what we're saying, open your Bible if you have a smartphone and it has a Bible program, turn it on, open it up, look at it.
Yeah.
Read those words with us, because sometimes what happens is somebody else will say, well, wait a minute, it doesn't read exactly the way I thought it read.
Yeah.
And they point that out to us, and we say, well, it doesn't say that. I was reading it with my eyes.
Yes. Instead from my previous understanding.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we want, as we do these things, we want to have the mind of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because it was his will to do the will of the Father. And so just that's just a little bit about the Prophecies of Hope ministry and what we do. We're here in Stanton, Virginia. If you're ever in the area, look us up. We'd love for you to stop by and join with us. And you'll find that there are some things that we believe and understand that are a little different from a lot of churches.
Yeah.
We're not affiliated with any denomination. And also, we do come together on the same day that the apostles and the disciples and that Jesus Christ came to worship the one true God.
Yeah.
And that's on the Sabbath.
Which is Saturday.
Which is Saturday.
Yeah.
And so we rest on that day. Yeah. We rest from all of our works from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
Yeah.
And we try to dedicate that time to our Heavenly Father and His Son. So I'll tell you what, Ed, you kind of left everyone with a cliffhanger.
Yes, we did.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So let's have a word of prayer. If you would start us off with a word of prayer and then give us a little review.
Okay, we'll do that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this time we can spend in your word to read the message that you want us to read and understand and to be able to apply these things to our lives. Father, as we open your word today, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand the things in your Bible. And to give us the Spirit of truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we've been following Paul's journeys on his missionary journeys, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his goal is to come to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's going through different towns and cities, people are prophesying to him, say, don't go to Jerusalem because something bad is going to happen to you there.
Mm.
But he is following God's will in his life.
Right.
And so he comes to Jerusalem, he meets with the brethren, and they suggest to him that he perform a purification ceremony with, I think it's four or five other men at the same time. And so he's in the process of doing this, and he's been in the temple in Jerusalem. And what happens is other Jews, in verse 27 of Acts 21, who are from Asia, having seen him in the temple, stir up all the crowd and lay hands on them.
Mm.
They accuse him of teaching things not according to the law and having brought a Gentile into the temple, which
right.
is punishable by death.
Sure.
And so they're in a great uproar.
So let me clarify, you know, there's another way that the Bible uses laying hands on someone, and this is not the good way.
Right. Yes, they take him into custody. And they were, in verse 31, seeking to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
They were beating him. And the news to the chiliarch, which is the commander of the garrison in the city, heard about this. And he took his soldiers and centurions. They ran down to where this was happening in verse 32. And when the people saw the soldiers, they quit beating Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And so these men laid hold on Paul and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and they took him away from the crowd. And they came to the fortress in verse 34. And when he came to the stairs, he was being carried by the soldiers. He wasn't even walking because of the violence of the crowd.
Right.
They had to carry him because the crowd was still after him.
Wow.
Trying to kill him. And let's start in verse 37. Let me read verses 37 through 40 of Acts 21. Now, verse 36 says, "For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, 'Away with him.'" That's where we left off last
right.
week. So verse 37, this is the modern King James Version. "And Paul was about to be led into the fortress. He said to the chiliarch, 'Is it lawful for me to say a thing to you?' And he said, 'Do you know Greek?'"
Mm-hmm.
Then you are not the Egyptian who before these days caused a riot and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness? But Paul says, I am a man, a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no small city, and I beseech you, allow me to speak to the people. And he allowing him, standing on the stairs, Paul signaled with his hands to the people, and much silence taking place, he spoke in the Hebrew dialect, saying.
Mm. And then Paul spoke at least two languages that we know of, right?
Yeah.
And so think about what this means. You know, here he is, he's a Jewish man, he's speaking Greek, but if he's going to address Jewish people, they understood both languages a lot of times back then.
Right.
But that tells them, this man, he is a Jew. They could probably tell by the way he, you know, because if you or I learn another language, we're going to have a funny accent,
right,
whatever that is. If it's Spanish, they're going to know that English is my first tongue.
You've got to remember that Jerusalem was also a crossroads, a trading center for the world. A lot of people from all over the world would come there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what amazes me about where we're at right now in this account is that these people are beating Paul, trying to kill him. The purpose of beating him is to kill him.
Absolutely.
And he wants to stop and talk to them?
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, it shows that he's truly a follower of Christ.
He truly wants to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes.
He does.
And even in this situation, which could have easily cost him his life.
Yeah, you're right.
So let's go to Acts 22 and see what he has to say. Do you mind reading?
No, not at all.
Let's go through at least verse 21.
Okay, so that's a lot of reading,
yes.
Ed. Okay, Acts chapter 22, and I'm going to begin in the first verse. This is a lot of reading. I hope you're following along in your Bible. And I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you are all today. I persecuted this way." Now, that word has a capital W in my Bible.
I think it's referring to those that follow Christ.
Yes, it is. Remember, Jesus in John 14:6 is the way, the truth, and the life,
yes,
right? So he says, I persecuted this way, or believers, we could say, to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, I want to stop there. In my Bible, those words are red.
Yes.
So I have a red letter edition.
Right.
Which means this is Jesus speaking to Saul.
Right.
In verse 8, so I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. So let me pause again, if I may. Because we're talking about the Apostle Paul here. But this was before he became Paul. His name was Saul, for those who may not know that.
He's giving the crowd who's trying to kill him a witness.
His testimony.
Yeah.
This is his life story of how he became a Christian.
Yes.
Right? So verse 9. Well, let me read verse 8 again.
Okay.
So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the Just One, and hear the voice of his mouth.
The Just One being Jesus.
Yes. Verse 15, For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So that's Jesus speaking there.
Yeah.
Verse 19, So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.
Okay, here we have Paul, who was being beaten by the Jews because they accused him of teaching against the law and for bringing a Gentile into the temple. And here he is standing on the stairs of the fortress, speaking to the people his testimony. And look how he starts out, telling them that he was a Jew, that he persecuted the Christians, the followers of Christ, yeah, to the point of death, and that he grew up studying under Gamaliel and knew the exactness of the laws and was one who was very zealous for God. But then he gives this account of what happened to him onto his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. Mm. He's explaining to them this change that has occurred in his life and why it happened.
Yeah, so here we have this man, Paul, or Saul at that time, who was he's speaking about this time when he was a Pharisee,
yes,
right? And he had been trained in law. He knows the law,
yeah,
as well as any other person. And he had been taught by this great, pretty much a college professor, we could say, right?
Okay.
Gamaliel.
Yeah.
So he had been taught by him all of these things, and now the things that he had been taught are starting to sink in. Wait a minute. They were pointing to
Jesus,
the Son of God.
Yeah.
So how can you go to school to learn these things and miss out on that?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's amazing that even today there are people who go to college to learn these things and they miss that very point that Jesus is the Son of God.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that because we see that a lot.
So here he's telling what happened in this experience. You know, there's this great light that comes from heaven upon the group, and he actually is speaking to Christ. And because of the glory of Christ, he lost his sight. So he's told by Christ to go into Damascus, and it will be told what you should do. And this man, Ananias, and there's other places in the Bible about this count. Ananias, who's a follower of Christ, the follower of the way, who knows who Saul is,
mm-hmm,
and when God tells him to go and help this man, I wonder what his thoughts were, you know?
Yeah.
This man could kill me. You
right.
Know? He's seeking my life. But yet he goes and does what he's told to do. And through the power of God, his eyes are restored to sight.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up and is baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. And then he goes on to tell him how Christ afterwards instructed him to go and preach to the Gentiles, the nations.
Yes. You know, I was just back here in verse 9,
uh-huh,
where it says, Those who were with me, indeed, they saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to
right.
me. You know, isn't that the case with a lot of people today? They see the light in God's word, but they don't hear the voice of God in
yeah.
the scriptures. They like the benefits, but they don't want to hear what he has to say because it calls for a change. And here Paul recognized, I have changes to make.
You know, I often say this, I'll say it again. The gospel of Jesus Christ should make you uncomfortable.
Yes, it should.
Because it shows you the true condition of your life, the true condition mm-hmm. of your heart, and it points to you directly to show you the need you have for Jesus in your life.
Yes, it does. I'm so glad. You know, that's the thing, Ed. The more I read the Bible, the more I realize that I'm not as in tune with Christ as I thought I was.
Yeah.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I realize there are things in my life, I've got to get rid of this.
Yes.
I have to overcome this.
Yes.
I have to put that away.
And Christ is the only one that can empower you to do that.
Absolutely.
Because he has the experience here on this earth of doing that himself through his faith that he had in his Father to do his Father's will no matter what.
Yeah, and it's not an easy thing, friends.
No.
It's not easy. It's a struggle because the adversary is working hard to keep us where he wants us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wants us to come to where he is. He's working hard to help us to see him just like
right.
Paul did here.
Right. So we're at the point in this account where Paul has gotten to the point in his speech where he tells people that Christ has told him that he's going to send Paul far away to the nations, or Saul at that time.
Right.
And look at the crowd's response. Let's continue reading in Acts 22:22. And let's go through verse 29, if you don't mind.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Yes, please.
All right. Beginning in verse 22. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live."
Wow. Because he was going to the nations to teach them the gospel.
Yeah, to teach about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And verse 23, then as they cried out and tore their clothes and drew dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he would be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained the citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him.
You know, I don't understand the thinking back then. In order to find out what's right, I'm going to beat them first.
Yeah.
But that was the way they did things back then.
It is. Yeah. I don't know that I understand. You know, it makes me wonder, this persecution that Saul went through, you know, the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus, as Christians, we may be persecuted like this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to scare people. I'm saying that to prepare you. But look at what Paul did. Look at the witness he made. Look at how he was spared,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And God will never get us to do something that is beyond what we can handle, right?
Or, you know, he will never leave you.
Right. Absolutely.
No.
And Paul wasn't left alone here.
No.
He wasn't at all.
No.
So, and when I look at this also, I think it was shocking to them. They were certainly shocked that Paul said, "Hey, I'm a Roman. I was born here."
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, another thing I don't understand, they must have a lot of clothes back then because they're always tearing
their clothes.
They're always tearing their clothes, you know, as a means of showing your upsetness or
yeah.
whatever, or
yeah.
distress. Or
sometimes they mourn that way.
Yeah.
Job tore his clothes
yeah.
in the Old Testament.
Yeah. So let's finish Acts 22 with the last verse, in verse 30.
Okay. It says, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, He released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them.
So he was bringing the two sides together,
right,
trying to figure out what is going on. Another thing that I find amazing is the Romans are in control of the world and their control of Israel and Jerusalem there. Yet these people are so zealous in their hate for Saul that, you know, they don't care about the Roman soldiers. They're not worried about them. They just want him dead.
Yeah, there's no regard for anything else.
You would think you would have a fear of these Roman soldiers, but apparently it's lacking here for some reason.
And it could have been, you know, sometimes you get the mob mentality.
Yeah.
You get enough people, the fear kind of dwindles.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because this is very important,
okay,
what you just said, the mob mentality.
Right.
If all these people know this stuff and are following this particular church, following this particular pastor, it must be good, it must be right. I need to follow them too.
Right. Yeah. Power in numbers,
yeah,
right? And I think that happens a lot. And it gets to the point to where, you know, I've experienced this personally, to where, you know, all of your friends are there, and then if you start thinking or believing, well, the Bible says this, but my church is teaching that,
yeah,
it can be hard to press against that, all of those people pushing against you.
I truly believe we're living in a world today where people have lost the ability to think for themselves.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're following one side or the other, one group or the other.
Yeah, there's very little independent thinking. And
yeah,
when I say independent, I'm not talking about independent from the Bible.
Right.
I'm talking about independent from wanting support from others that,
yeah,
are around you. You know,
yeah,
the world that we live in is very much, this is why they have these social networks.
Yeah.
They're very influencing in people's minds.
Right.
And we watch those things. And, you know, Ed, you've heard me preach this so many times. We have to learn to turn these things off.
Right.
Can you imagine if this was reported, if this happened today?
How would it be reported?
Yeah, how would,
yeah,
it be reported?
Yeah.
You know, what would be taking place?
Yeah.
Would, you know, I believe this because this is inspired.
Right.
This is God's inspired word. And you know, it's just here we see the whole context and we can look at it.
Right.
But when we hear reports today, you don't always have it in context.
So let's go to Acts 23 and see what happens when the Roman commander is bringing these two groups together, the high priest and the Sanhedrin and Paul, to try to figure out what's going on here.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and read Acts 23, 1 through 11.
All right. You want me to read that?
Please.
Okay. Acts 23, beginning in verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you withered." Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall."
Wow.
It says, "For you sit to judge me according to the law, and you command me to be struck contrary to the law." And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that one part of were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." So keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 11.
Verse 7 says, "And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome."
Wow.
What an account.
Wow. You know, this is Paul being put before the highest Jewish leaders in the nation.
This is like the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Right.
He's being brought before the Supreme Court.
And Paul understands who's there.
Yes.
There's the Sadducees and the Pharisees who have different beliefs about what happens when you die.
Yeah, they actually don't get along, but for the sake of coming against Paul, they're getting along.
Yeah. And so what does he do? He understands that there's a difference of opinion about what happens when you die. So he shouts out, "I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I am being judged because of the hope and the resurrection of the dead." Remember, he had witnessed his conversion story.
Right.
How Jesus came to him. Well, if Jesus came to him, he must be raised from the dead because he was died on the cross.
Absolutely.
And so, look at the response. Now, instead of fighting against Paul, they're fighting against each other, Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees are saying, "What, I don't find any evil in this man? You know, if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God."
Yeah.
In reference to Paul's testimony of how Christ came to him.
Yeah, that's what it says. It tells us, again, if we look at that, it says in verse 7, "And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided." And then it tells us, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both.
Yeah.
So I have to say it, Ed. I have to tell it.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I always like to say, to remember these things, you know, the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, and they believed in the spirit, it says. But the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and that's sad, you see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just love that one.
You know, but it actually is a good way to help us remember who believes.
It is. Because it is sad. You know, if you don't have that hope that Christ has given us, what else is there?
Right.
How do people live in this world today without that hope? And Paul understood this. That's why he's so excited. That's why he can't keep quiet.
Right. You know, the Bible talks about, and Christ has told his disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say.
That's right.
Before you come before kings and counselors. And Paul has done this.
Yeah.
You know, God, through his son Jesus Christ, has given him things to say, things that will make things work out according to the will of God. Look at verse 11. "And the following night the Lord stood by him," the Lord being Christ, "stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul.'" Think about that. I've been beaten and being torn apart almost by these two groups of people. And Jesus is saying, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you also must bear witness at Rome."
So it's not over yet.
No.
There's more to come.
There's more to come, yes.
So, but think about this. When we look at this in verse 11, you know, right before you said, let's look at verse 11, I was thinking, who was there to comfort him?
Yes, it was Christ.
The comforter.
Yes.
You know, we've studied that in the past in John chapter 14.
Yeah, John 14, 18, the King James Version says, Jesus is saying, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you."
This is proof, isn't it?
Yes.
The Apostle Paul witnessed this firsthand.
Yes.
And we can have that same... This should really stand out to you, those who study the Bible.
Yes.
That these things can happen now.
Yes.
Today. This account is here to encourage us today that you may have to stand before counselors. You might have to stand before your church elders and say, "Look, I believe something. I believe what the Bible says.
Let me share with you why I believe what I do. Let me turn to the Word of God and share with you what it says."
This is what Paul was doing.
Yeah.
And so these accounts are here to bolster our faith and cause us to have the same boldness.
You know, I think about the Dark Ages, the Reformation, and all those Christians that lost their lives. Some sources say 50 million, say 150 million, persecuted by the papacy because they would not follow the papal commands.
Yeah.
They wanted to follow the Bible instead.
Right.
And many were tortured and lost their lives. But God enabled them to stand for the truth.
Amen. Yeah, and you know, he will do the same for you.
Yes.
And that's the importance of this account. To, you know, Ed, you just said it a few weeks ago. You know, when people say back in Bible times, what do you think about that?
We're living in Bible times today.
We are, aren't we?
Yes.
We see things that are happening at an unprecedented rate. Things are happening with more frequency, more intensity. The very things that Jesus pointed to in Matthew 24.
Yes.
And, you know, Paul was experiencing persecution then, and there are a lot of Christians, maybe not in this country of the United States where we live.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really experiencing any persecution at this point. It may come.
Right.
But don't be afraid of it.
You know, someone's persecution might be simply just sharing your faith with your friends.
Right.
Sharing your faith with your church, and the response may not be what you want.
It will likely not be well received.
Yeah.
But, you know, if one person hears the gospel and changes their course as a result, it's worth it.
The gospel according to the Bible.
Yes.
Not according to men or churches or preachers, but according to God's word.
Absolutely. So important. And, you know, right at the beginning, we were talking about reading the words on the page, right? It's so important. So read these. You know, a lot of times we call these things Bible stories, but I like to call them Bible accounts.
Yes.
Because they are stories, you know, because they're history.
Yeah.
These things happened. And I hope you look at the Bible as not just a history book, but a book of prophecy.
Yeah.
And a book that points to who God is and who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah. It's a book of hope. Hope for our lives today.
Amen. It really is. So what an exciting account. And I love the fact that right there in all of this, like you read in verse 11, that Jesus was there comforting Paul.
Yes.
In his time of trouble. So where are we going next?
Let's continue on in chapter 23. The next section is verse 12 through 22.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Yes. The heading in my Bible says, A Plot to Kill Paul.
Okay. Now, this Bible that I'm reading from doesn't have any subtitles, but this other Bible that I have next to me, mine says the same thing, The Plot Against Paul.
Okay.
That's in verse 11. So I'm going to begin in verse 12. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul, while they were determined. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and the elders and said, We have bound ourselves under great oath, and that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that we be brought down to you tomorrow as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near.
Okay, let me get this straight. These men who hate Paul, obviously, they come together and through an oath that they swear to that they're not going to eat or drink until they kill Paul. But they go to the chief priests and elders. Aren't those religious leaders?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Aren't religious leaders supposed to teach you don't kill each other?
They are supposed to teach that, yes.
And yet they are complicit with this plan to kill Paul.
It's really sad. You know, it's the mob mentality, right? You get enough people behind you. And, you know... How determined were they? You know, we're not going to eat anything. We're going to starve ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to die if we don't kill Paul.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. it's really childish. It's almost like a little kid that just wants to get his way.
Yeah.
You know? Oh. So, verse 16?
Yes.
So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called out one of the centurions to him and said, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has said something to tell him. He has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, "Paul, the prisoner, called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you." Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside, and asked privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you." So the commander let the young men depart, or the young man depart, and commanded him, "Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me."
You know, this is interesting that it shows us how God works to protect his followers.
Amen.
That this young man, who happened to be, I think, a nephew of
Paul's sister's son. So, yeah, it's his nephew.
Heard about it and comes to Paul and tells him, and Paul has him talk to the commander and tell him these things. You know, it's pretty interesting that this commander took him aside.
Yeah.
So no one else could hear.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, this smacks of today. You can't trust anybody.
You can't. You can't. You know, we can trust the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
And it's amazing how these things happen. And, you know, it's just like even with Jesus, you know, he chose 12 disciples and one of them betrayed him.
Yes.
And so we always have to. And the thing is, if we're determined to do the will of God, it's really not going to matter.
Right.
If someone betrays us or not. Is it hurtful? Absolutely. It is. But in the long run, when you look back and you say, well, you know, now certain things make sense to me that didn't before.
Right. So look at Paul's life to this point, everything that's happened to him, his experience persecuting the way or the Christians, the followers of Christ,
right,
being converted by Jesus himself on the road to Damascus, and all the physical trials he's gone through, being beaten, stoned to death, left for dead, and so on. Yet he's still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine how his faith has been built up through all these trials.
Yeah. You know, I think some people might say, well, how does that build your faith? You know, because they're thinking, that's sad that these things happen. But how does that build your faith?
You can see how God has been working your life, protecting you, leading you, guiding you.
That's right.
To achieve this goal of, as Christ said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world, and then the end shall come.
Yes. So, you know, you think about these things with Paul and the things that he was doing to Christians now is being done to him.
Yes.
And I'm sure this had to go through his mind many times.
This is why he says that he's the chief of all sinners.
Yes,
it is. Because of his past experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. And so, you know, to me, the whole idea that Paul has this experience and he reflects back on it, I'm sure that he regrets having persecuted the Christians.
Oh, no question, yeah.
But at the same time, this is what makes his testimony so powerful.
Yes.
So God can take a negative thing like that and turn it around and make it have, you know, Paul has more strength now.
Yes.
Because of what he has went through in his past.
I want to say his beliefs as a Pharisee, adherent to the law, in persecuting the Christians the way, was being done in his own power. And now he has experienced Christ, and it's being done in the power of Jesus Christ.
And nothing can match that.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing that can happen to him at this point to where that he can't get through.
Right. remember, death to him is not the end.
Right.
He believes in eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Amen. And he believes that if he dies doing these things, that when Christ comes again, he will be resurrected.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Don't lose sight of the fact that Paul has had this personal, physical interaction with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He knows Jesus. I mean, very little, I believe, is said in the Bible about what these conversations were about. Mm-hmm. And Paul wants to be with Jesus.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And so death to him is not a scary thing.
No. And keep in mind, you know, we've talked about this in the past. We've done this fairly recently, that he knows that he will sleep the sleep of death.
Yes.
Until we believe that Paul is still waiting for his resurrection.
Right.
But just like anything else, if when you go to sleep, it's timeless.
Yes.
You wake up and hours have gone by. Yeah. So he'll wake up, it'll seem like a split second. He closes his eyes and he opens them and he'll be with Jesus.
Right.
So it's really beautiful.
All right, so can we continue on?
Sure.
In chapter 23?
23, verse 23 is where we're
yes,
going to pick
up. Yes, remember, these Jews are still trying to find a way to kill Paul. And now that this commander knows what's going on, let's see what he's going to do.
Okay. Picking it up in verse 23. And he called for And he called for two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night, and provide mounts to set Paul on, and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. He wrote a letter in the following manner: Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason that they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him deserving of death or chains. And when it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you, and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell. Keep going?
Yes.
Finish out the chapter?
Yep.
Verse 31. Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and returned to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, they asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you when your accusers also have come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium.
So this commander, this Claudius, he recognized, this is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah.
So he gets 200 soldiers and 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen.
Wow.
And at the third hour of the night, they go their way to Caesarea. Mm. And they have him sent before Felix, the governor, to have him look at this legal question of what's going on.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. All of this for one man.
Yeah.
You know, who does that tell you is in charge of this whole thing?
You know, this is God's way of getting him to Rome. He will eventually get to Rome.
Well, that was the promise.
Yes.
That's what was said here in verse 11.
Yeah,
right?
Christ tells him, I'm going to send you, just as you witnessed for me in Jerusalem, so you will witness for me in Rome.
So let me ask you, when you look at the events that happened here and you see how many people are involved, do you think Paul recognized this was God's hand?
Yes, I do.
That was on him? I do too.
Because of all the prophecies that were against him of going to Jerusalem, Paul understood that this is what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
he may not have understood everything that would happen and what it would lead to eventually, but he was just following the will of God in his life.
Yes. You know, it's, I guess I would like to just, I think it's good for people to stop for a moment and think and reflect on that.
Yes.
What is God's plan in your life?
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we just read the Bible and we just read it as stories, but no, God's speaking to you through these pages. He really is.
Yes.
And he has a plan for you.
Yes.
And that plan, he wants to give you eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that.
He wants to make you a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Someone that knows Christ and has a relationship, understands salvation through the death and the life of Jesus Christ, the life he now wants to live within us. And once you know that, he wants you to share that with others so others can have the same hope that you and I do, Mark.
Yes. And let me ask you, Ed, is it easy for you sometimes to get out and just speak to somebody?
I am very much an introvert.
It's true. When I first met Ed, he was much more introverted than he is now.
And I will confess that God has changed me to some point. And doing this is comfortable.
Right.
Teaching Sabbath school, even speaking up front is not so uncomfortable as it used to be.
Right.
But to stand in front of a court or a king or a ruler, I don't know.
Yeah.
But God has promised in his word that he will give me, as well as you, as well as to those listening, words to say or not to say.
Amen.
As you try to represent Christ and his word before important people.
And just at the time that you may think that, well, this is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, just think, when Jesus said those words in 23:11, you're going to bear witness at Rome. Paul may have thought, it doesn't tell us what he thought,
right.
But if that were me, I would probably say, how is that going to happen?
Yeah.
That's impossible. And what we think is impossible, all things are possible with God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So let's never doubt, never question those things. If God is using you, if he has he has a plan for you, you will choose whether you walk with him or not.
Yeah. God desires every single person on this earth to be saved.
Amen.
But he does not force you. He presents the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ, as a way of salvation through his death on the cross and through sanctification through Christ living in our hearts and minds today.
It's so true. And, you know, this is the whole purpose behind the gospel, to help people to recognize what you just said.
To restore us into a face-to-face relationship with God himself one day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because, look, friends, I wanted to take a little time just to talk about these things because you might say, well, this could never happen to me. I'm going to tell you something. If you would have asked me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, well, maybe not 10 now, I never thought I would be doing what we're doing today.
No.
I would have laughed if somebody would have said, you're going to be involved in a ministry, you're going to be very involved, you and a very small group of people are going. I would have thought, no, I'm going to be right here in this church that I grew up in.
Yeah.
You know.
We have the truth.
Yeah, exactly. <You know? laughs> But, you know, I look at it and I say, well, because I yield to what the Bible says, God's been able to use me in ways that I would have never dreamed.
By doing that, yielding to what God's word says, you're actually worshiping God.
Amen.
And following his will. You want to do the will of God in your life.
Amen.
Just as Christ did.
And that's, see, Christ was yielding, wasn't he?
Yes.
He, Father, not my will, but yours be done. That's what he was saying. We have just a few minutes, Ed. Is there something you wanted to share there?
Well, you know, at some point, as we go through Acts, we need to ask the question, what is Paul preaching about?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's bringing all this controversy, all this people wanting to kill him. We need to look closer at what Paul is preaching about. And friends, quite frankly, he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So at some point in the next couple of weeks, we need to talk about that and investigate it through the Bible. And probably the good place to start is Romans chapter 1.
Okay. That sounds really good.
But I think we need to continue to see what happens with Paul and the testimony that God and the miracles that are still yet to come that he's going to experience in his missionary journey.
Okay. So what would you like to do? Did you want to stop here at the end of 23?
Let's read a little bit in 24. We've got just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we have under 2 minutes. So how far do you want me to go?
All right. Let's just go ahead and start reading, and we'll just stop wherever. Okay.
All right. So Acts chapter 24, I'm going to begin in verse 1. Now, after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. Though these gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us." So we're just about out of time.
All right, let's go ahead and stop here. This first part of Acts 24 is the chief priest presenting their side of the story. And
yes.
The next part, we're going to have Paul present his side of the story.
You notice how cautious he's being. He's really choosing his words and kind of kissing up a little bit. You know.
Well, that's why they brought this orator to speak for them.
Yes.
Man good with words.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Don't be deceived by a man good with words.
You know, this is what the devil does. He uses words to deceive people. And that's why, like you said at the beginning, read the words on the page and believe them, right?
Yes.
So, friends, we need to close with prayer, and we'll pick up here next week. So let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening, and we just ask for your Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding. When we leave here this evening, may we and the listener consider these things and keep reading our Bibles, and may our hearts be conformed to do your will. Father, we ask for you to be with us until we come together again. We thank you for all good things, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for this. We'll pick up here next week.
Right, sounds good.
Friends, we hope to see you here next Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.